We will continue in the seventh commandment. And the seventh commandment is, Thou shalt not commit adultery. We find this in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 14. Thou shalt not commit adultery. So we are going through the Ten Commandments, and it was very interesting. As I was coming from work, I was listening to a radio program called Every Man an Answer. When a listener asked a question on the Ten Commandments, his question was, do we have to use the Ten Commandments today for evangelism, so the sinners will be convicted? I believe that was a very good question. The co-host Chuck Smith, who is a very popular pastor at Calvary Chapel, said, there are some who use the Ten Commandments for evangelism, but we cannot find it anywhere in the New Testament how the apostles used the Ten Commandments for evangelism. When I heard this, I was pretty much grieved, as he continued to say, it is the Holy Spirit that convicts the sinner. I was deeply hurt, as there are thousands of people listening to this program, and he's a very popular person in the Christian circle today, and many are going to believe his answer. But Apostle Paul said, not for the law, I wouldn't have known sin. Romans 7:7. And also 1 John chapter 3 verse 4, John said, whoever committed sin transgresses the law. For sin is transgressing the law. That's how you know you're a sinner. Very sad to see how the popular church has totally taken away the Ten Commandments out. Marriage is divinely instituted by God. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 4, I'll be going through a lot of scriptures today, so you got to either write down the scriptures or keep up with me, please. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 says, marriage is honorable among all because it was instituted by God, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. God instituted the first marriage in the Garden of Eden. Marriage is a creation of ordinance by God, and it was practiced by all religions. And God created the heavens and the earth, and then God created the animals, then he created man, Adam. Then we see that all what God created was good. Then we see that when Adam went and named all the animals, and he couldn't find anybody that is suited for him. Then we know God did the first surgery when God put Adam into a deep sleep. That was the first surgery. And God took a bone out of Adam and created Eve. And when Adam woke up, he saw a woman standing. Then Adam said to the woman, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And we see the woman was taken out of man. There was only one man, that was Adam, only one man, but now there are two. Out of one man came two. then through marriage, you become one again. That's why in the book of Genesis, it says, Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined his wife, and they shall become what? One flesh. The word one there is like becoming like glue, cannot separate, inseparable. You become one flesh. You'll be united. You'll be like glued together in one. And if you turn with me to Mark chapter 10, verse 7, chapter 8 from verse 6. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. This is Jesus speaking. And the two shall become one flesh. So then there are no longer two, but one flesh. As I said, first at the beginning, there was only one man, and God, out of one man, God did a surgery, and there were two. Now when they are married together, they become one again. And marriage was even blessed after the flood. So marriage is blessed even now. Even after we sin against God, still marriage is blessed by God. How God told Noah, be fruitful and multiply. And, be fruit and multiply. That's marriage. And Jesus' first miracle was done in a marriage. But today we see the marriage vows being broken. There's adultery. What is adultery? Adultery is when a married man or a woman has a relationship with another person. That is adultery. It is breaking the marriage oath. It is breaking the covenant of marriage. In the presence of God, you get married, and in the presence of God, the marriage vows are broken. This is a great crime against God. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 23, we see this happen in the Old Testament times. Jeremiah 29:23, because they have done disgraceful things in Israel, have committed adultery with their neighbor's wives, and have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them, indeed I know, and I am a witness, says the Lord. God sees everything. God is a witness. And here we see adultery brings dishonor to God. When God says, thou shalt not commit adultery, the adulterer, he sets his will above God's law. And he tramples the law of God by his faith. That means he violates the law of God, he is disobedient to God, and he has no respect to God. That's a crime. Now, Matthew chapter 5, verse 32. To you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. You know, adultery injures the entire Trinity. Adultery injures the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father is the one who gave life, and also gave life, give you strength, give you wisdom and a brain, so that we can study and find a job. And God is the one who gives money. And out of that money, you're spending to the devil. When you commit adultery, you're spending your money to the devil for another woman. That's adultery. You have injured the Father. The Son is the one who purchased you, who bought you with a price. And we belong to Him because He's the one who bought us. And when you commit adultery, you leave and go to another. So the Son is injured. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15, know that your bodies are members of Christ. Shall I take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. If you do that, there's utter injury for the Son. Also, it injures the Holy Spirit, because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Verse 19 says, 1 Corinthians 6:19, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? And we see now that the whole Trinity has been injured by adultery. Of course, we know the devil has an unclean spirit, right? We see this in Luke chapter 11, verse 24. But the adulterer is the devil's firstborn, because he becomes unclean. Now what about divorce? If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. Matthew 19:9 says, I say unto you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. Divorce is not commanded in the Bible, but it is only permitted in the Bible only in a case of adultery. It is the termination of the marriage bond. I said that two people have become one. Two people are glued together. It is inseparable. It's impossible for them to be separated. But when adultery comes, it is so sinful, it can break that relationship away. The union is dissolved by adultery. For the adulterers have become one flesh with another. Now, so she no longer one flesh, or he or she no longer with a spouse anymore, with one flesh. She or he has broken the bond of the marriage covenant. And when they break the covenant, they absolutely destroys all the obligation and the duties of marriage bond. So if one spouse commits adultery, then the other spouse will try the best to reconcile the matter and forgive and ask for healing in the marriage. But if the spouse who committed adultery is not open and not doesn't want to confess the sins and goes away on his own, that person who committed adultery is guilty. But the innocent party is free to file divorce and free to remarry. That's why Matthew chapter 19 verse 9 says, only except for adultery. Whoever who marries, now, the person who committed adultery now goes and marries another one. Then the other person is also guilty in adultery. This is double adultery. That's why husbands and wife, you should not be separated, should be together. Unless if there's adultery involved. How if you are living with an unbelieving wife or a husband? Now you got married as you are, you got married, but let's say that you get married, both of you are not Christians. Then one gets saved, the other is not. What are you going to do? Dump him? No. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 12. Chapter 7. Verse 12 says, but to the rest I not the Lord say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe, she is willing to live with him, and let him not divorce her. So if somebody has an unbelieving husband or a wife, but they are willing to live with you, you don't divorce that person. Because how do you know? Through your testimony, through your life, that person will become a Christian. And verse 13, and a woman has a husband who does not believe, and he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. And verse 15 says, but if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. So if they want to depart, now you became a Christian and they notice they are different and they want to leave, let them leave. That's the word of God. That's what it says there. But of course, you try your best. We prayerfully try to reconcile matters before you do that. But when you talk about adultery, when the Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery, there are many subjects that are involved under adultery. So we need to take all of them together now. And I see a lot. There's so much sexual immorality wrapped up in that word adultery. And one of the things is incest. Anybody know what is incest means? Incest is having sexual relations with your closest. That means having sexual relations with brothers and sisters. Having sexual relations with parents and children, with grandchildren. And we know it's happening today. Because man is utterly, totally depraved, and it is happening today. That's why God wrote the law. If you turn with me to Leviticus chapter 18. Chapter 18. Verse 6. None of you shall approach anyone who is near or kin to him to uncover his nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of your father or the nakedness of your mother you shall not uncover. She is your mother. You shall not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of your father's wife you shall not uncover. It is your father's nakedness. The nakedness of your sister, the daughter of your father, or the daughter of your mother, whether born at home or elsewhere, their nakedness you shall not uncover. The nakedness of your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, their nakedness you shall not uncover. The nakedness of your father's wife, daughter, begotten by your father, She is your sister. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's sister. She is near of kin to your father. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister, for she is near of kin to your mother. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's brother. You shall not approach his wife. She is your aunt. So it goes on to say, you know, all the way through, the closest relatives. If you have any sexual immorality, that is sexual immorality. That's a sin. And we know it's happening. I believe when you talk about adultery, our society is being heavily influenced by television. Television is the most devastating brainwashing device ever unleashed upon humanity. Your television set can, it's washing machine, you know, cleans clothes, while the television set is a brainwashing machine. And it can bring destruction to your soul. Television controls 90% of the average person's thinking and behavior. Not the word of God. Because people are putting time into television, not the word of God. Most of the romance and sex on TV are between people who are violating God's laws. Marriage bonds are broken. This is fornication and adultery in living color. Let me tell you, typically, children in the United States, they begin to watch television at a very early age. Sometimes, when they are 6 months old, they are already being addicted to TV. 6 months old, parents put the child right there in front of the television. And usually, in generally, found out through a survey that a child in America watches TV 28 hours a week. And that is 2,400 hours a year. And American children spend more time watching TV than any other activity. By the time the average American child is 6 years old, she will spend more time watching TV than talking to her daddy in her lifetime. 6 years old. Television is pagan idolatry. There is manifestation of sexual love, rape, foolish talks, sexual jokes, flirting, sexual behavior, lust, violating God's law, worldly music, dancing, which is of pagan origin, sitcoms, romance, all these things are portrayed in living color. If you are watching these things, you have vain pleasure. Vain pleasure will not inherit the kingdom of God, because you are lustfully watching, entertaining in your mind. That's not the way to inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible says, Romans chapter 13, verse 14, chapter 13 verse 14 says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. If you are a true Christian, you will not walk as the pagans walk, as the pagans do. You know, the Bible is very clear, you know, when it comes to adultery, adultery even resembles a person as a beast, according to the Bible. Adulterer is described as a horse. When? I mean, it's described as a horse. If you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 8. Like well-fed, lusty stallions, everyone named after his neighbor's wife. It's like the adulterer is compared to a beast here. Know the scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Apostle Paul said, "But I say, therefore, testify in the Lord that you should no longer, as the rest of the Gentiles, walk in the futility of their mind." We are different. We are separated unto serve the Lord. We don't walk as the Gentiles do. We don't walk as the unbelievers do. We are separated. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15 says, "Love not the world, neither that the things are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So if you are really in love with the TV, the Father's love, God's love is not in you. Then verse 16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from God. It's from the world." James chapter 4 verse 4 says, "You adulterers." James says, "You adulterers." It's not talking to a person who have left his wife here. But James is saying here, if you are having friendship with the world, you are enmity with God. You cannot have both. Pretty strong language there. You become an adulterer there then. Whoever who is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You cannot have your favorite music, worldly music, and the word of God together. Or your television set, you're watching all those programs with these lustful things which is entertaining in your mind, and the word of God together. It's impossible. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 11 says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul." Don't you lust at that TV, huh? Man, there's a war going on there, huh? When it comes to that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 7 says, "For God has called us into uncleanliness." God has not called us into uncleanliness. Are you guys sleeping? Okay. God has not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto what? Unto holiness. Unto holiness. What else do you see in TV? Sodomy? As happening in our country. What is sodomy? Sodomy is something against nature. Sodomy is having, like men having sexual relationship with men, and women having sexual relationship with women. And human, you know, having human beings having sexual relations with animals. You can remember Sodom and Gomorrah, or when the angels came to rescue Lot, and all the people in the town came to Lot's house and tried to break the door. Why? Because they wanted to have sexual relations with the angels. And Leviticus chapter 20, the punishment for sodomy is death. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. Man lies with a male. Gay, because, you know, that's the way I was born. God did not create Adam and Adam. Create Adam and Eve. And Romans chapter 1, verse 26 and 27 says, there are so many states in this country that it's been a law that you can marry your own sex. Romans chapter 1, verse 26 says, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature, that is sodomy. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. The Bible is so clear. When God says, thou shalt not commit adultery, all these sexual immorality things are involved in that. Fornication. That is having unlawful relationships between two unmarried people, single people. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 says, flee fornication. Flee. Flee means you run as fast as possible. Like Joseph. Huh? Joseph was single. When he saw Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce Joseph. Potiphar's husband has gone on a long trip. And Joseph, when she was trying to seduce, what did she do? Man, he ran. He even left his jacket. You don't go to get your jacket back. You run. Even if you have to go to prison. Because your soul, that is what is more important. Because every sin that man commits is with every sin that a man does without the body, but he that commits fornication sin against his own body. Because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you are bought with a price. What about polygamy? What do you mean by poly? P-O-L-Y. Many. This is where one husband will have many wives. Or wife will have many husbands. Think polygamy first, it's in the Bible, is Genesis chapter 4, verse 19. Where Lamech took unto him two wives. Genesis 4:19. You see, polygamy was there even during, you know, Solomon. David committed, they were sinful against God's commandment. Matthew chapter 19 verse 5 is very clearly says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and they will, and shall cleave to his wife, and they will become one flesh. So, if you are burning with lust, you should get married. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2, Apostle Paul said, Corinthians 7, 2, nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, Let each man have his own wife. Let each woman have her own husband. One. No polygamy there. No polygamy. One wife, one husband. How about concubine? What is concubine? Solomon had many concubines, right? What do you mean by concubine? The word concubine comes with the word cohabits. This is a man or a woman who cohabits, who lives together without getting married. Living together. And this was allowed in ancient Greece and Rome. They were living together without getting married. But today in the United States, there are about 4 million people living together without getting married. In 1960, there were 90 married couples for every cohabiting couple. By the year 2010, if it continues at that rate, there will be 7 married couples for every cohabiting couple. It's increasing. People don't want to get married. They are living together. That's the same. So 1 Corinthians 7:9, it says, if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. Living together. Can we remember the story, the Samaritan woman, where Jesus met, and the woman said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, you're right. Jesus said, you had 5 husbands, and the man you're living with, is not your husband, but you're living with another guy. How about premarital sexual behavior? That is, if you're engaged to a person, you're going to get married, but before marriage, you already have sex. Well, that's the same. A good example we see here, it is indecent to have any kind of sexual behavior before marriage. A good example we see is, turn with me to Matthew chapter 1 verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Verse 19 says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her public example, was minded to put away secretly. Joseph was called a righteous man, a just man. And he was engaged to be married to Mary. But he was called a just and a righteous man. And we can see, it's a good example that you don't have any sexual behavior before marriage. How about sexual flirting? Flirting. You see that all the time on TV. Sexual gestures, flirting. That comes under adultery too. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. Jesus said, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. I'll tell you, it's a lot of flirting. This is where when people take the commandments, the Ten Commandments out of the church, there's everything is in disorder. Everything is in disorder. That's why the church has become worldly today. And Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5:28, then 5:29 says, if your right eye causes you to sin, flirting starts with eye, right? Always, you know. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Cast it from you. It is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. It's better to take your eye away, you know, and go to heaven rather than your whole body to go to hell. What he's talking is, it is sin. It's a sin. And he's talking very seriously here. And 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 14. Says, having eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices, and they are accursed children. Excuse me. Also, what about your dress? What you wear? Wearing sexual clothing, it was done, only the harlots wore sexual kind of clothing, that is, bring temptation to the opposite sex. It's not right. Because whatever that is in the heart, in your heart, is manifested outwardly. So if you are wearing clothes that brings temptation to the opposite sex, that's not Christian. Because Luke chapter 6 verse 45, Jesus said, 6:45, Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, an evil man out of the evil treasure of the heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. And also, out of the abundance of the heart, you will see outwardly man's appearance. But then, you know, that's what it is. So, I'll tell you, it's not a popular sermon what we are preaching today. How about filthy jokes? Man, I was a champion at this when I was a non-Christian. I praise God that He changed my tongue. He changed my heart. He changed my tongue too. Filthy sexual jokes comes under adultery too. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Actually, if you look at the old King James, it says, do not be deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Colossians chapter 3 verse 8. says, but now you yourself are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 26, you don't have to turn to me, I'll read it for you. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. So what about the punishment? There's going to be punishment. The punishment you see in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 9.
Thou shalt not make commit adultery, and if you do these things continually without repenting, without confessing your sins, there is going to be punishment. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. It's your 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Means, don't be deceived. The world is going to deceive you. The television is going to deceive you. And the people, your friends, are going to deceive you. So Paul is saying, don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, goes on to say, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. So don't be deceived. You're not going to go to heaven if you continue to do these things. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving up thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. So let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So don't let anyone deceive you with empty words, saying, it's okay, that's fine. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part where? In the lake which burns with how? With fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I'll tell you, there is no television in hell. There is no pornography in hell. If you get sunburned a little bit, I'll tell you, it hurts your skin. If your little finger burns a little bit on the stove, man, I'll tell you, it hurts. But we are talking very serious here. The lake of fire, if you keep on doing these things, the lake of fire is not a vacation. You will stay there for a little while. It's throughout eternity. It's every single second, every minute, every hour for eternity you will be burning in hell. It's not for a moment, it is for an eternity. You cannot call help. There's no parents to help you. There are no doctors. There are no 911, no emergencies, no one to rescue. No pastor can help you. You had all the time on earth to repent and to confess and to change your mind, change your will, and to follow God. But you did not repent. You wanted to do your way. You were not serious at all. You even came to church and read the Bible. But there was no true repentance. I'll tell you, you'll be tormented day and night, without ever stopping. Every single day, for years and years, for eternity, you will be tormented. Forever and ever, in the lake of fire. And you'll be thirsty. You'll be screaming in thirst for water. You'll be screaming with gnashing of teeth for water. Because you'll be in hell forever and ever.
And Jesus said, whoever who drinks of this water shall never thirst again. But people don't take it seriously, huh? They come into their ears how fast they go back to their own vomit. How fast they forget. What is the application? The application, I think marriage bed should be pure, undefiled. The duty of the husband, Ephesians 5:23, husband is the head. The duty of the husband is to rule. The husband is the head of the wife. He is the head. He is in the seat of rule and judgment. But rule means not with evil rule, not with sinful rule, but in good love and discipline. The general duty of the wife is to submit to the husband. Submission. Wives, you don't take authority over your husband. That's not right. Abraham's wife, Sarah, gave much reverence to Abraham. And there was in a marriage, there's mutual affection between a married couple. And even Abraham, Peter says, Abraham called, Sarah called Abraham Master, Lord. So there's sincerity and honesty. Christians are soldiers for Jesus Christ, and soldiers, we get wounded. And our wounds, all the glory of our wounds go to Christ Jesus. Huh? In the same way, adulterer is wounded too. And if an adulterer is wounded, it is a shameful wound. It brings dishonor, no reputation. We read that Proverbs chapter 7 today. So the first thing we need to do is to hate evil. Hate evil. That's the number one thing we need to do. Romans chapter 12 verse 9. It says, abhor that which is evil. The word abhor means extremely hate. It doesn't mean a little bit. It means extremely hate evil. Then it says, cleave to which is good. So there's a separation there. There's no compromise. And also one thing we need to remember is the enemy is within ourselves. We are the enemy. Huh? It's not the person next to you. It's you. The flesh. And it is within ourselves. And if we don't watch the uncleanliness that is in us, that uncleanliness is going to rule you. Your flesh is going to rule you. So we need to always be awake in the Spirit of God. Hide the Word of God in your heart so you won't sin against God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1 says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You cannot cleanse yourself if you go to the television. The only way you can be cleansed is what? Ephesians chapter 5 says, it's the Word that cleanses you, the Word of God that cleanses you. So we need to be cleansed of filthiness of the flesh, perfecting in the fear of God. And we need to flee from sin and run to God in prayer. And if there's a problem, if there's a problem in these things, in sexual immorality, we need to flee from it. And we need to run to God and humble ourselves and fall down at your feet and cry to God. And sometimes you may have to go fasting and prayer. Prayer means every day praying very strong with fasting.
and you need to crucify your flesh. And you don't take it mild, I'll tell you. That will cleanse your soul. And then you need to ask God, God, like David, huh, who committed adultery. How David asked, God, create me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And God will do that to you. God will do that to you. When you cry out to God, when you ask for forgiveness, when you say, God, I have sinned against you. I have gone my own way. I didn't listen to the word of God. I was listening to the word all the time, but doing my way. God, forgive me. And sometimes you may have to go through some severe beating of the flesh through heavy fasting and prayer. Then ask God, God, create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. And God used King David again. And God can use us too. Let's pray.